message of today. Praise the Lord. Well, hallelujah. I want to enter into a new series, and today will be an introduction. How's that? The new series is going to be called Coming Into Our Purpose in God. I notice that as I clarify my purpose in God, that it changes my yeses and my noes. The things I should say yes to and the things I should say no to begin to be more clear. I'll give you an example. There's a lot of pull on me to go to Pakistan. And I get invitation. Lots of invitation. And part of that is because I preached a few messages on Skype or Facebook Live or Messenger, whatever I could find, WhatsApp. And I also got a lot of pull to come to back to Africa, to Kenya, to a couple of cities there, and three or four people there. Also just got an invitation for us to go out to California to the leadership conference out there. And so I went to the Lord about that, because I really think if you clarify your purpose, it'll clarify your yeses and your noes. And I believe Pastor Belinda and I's purpose this year is to really amp up the focus on the local church. And so we turned down the California invitation. But we went to the training in Santa Rosa. Not because we needed something else to do in January, but that we really believed it was important for the strategic purposes of that we're intending to spend on the local church, on you guys, and that we really need to be better in some areas, and now we are. So the idea was that we should, and there's a person at the door, praise the Lord. We do welcome everyone, praise the Lord. So we're going to welcome them, amen. It's just Roshanda that went out to the car and got locked out. Amen. It's part of our security these days to do that. But we're coming into a time when it's vitally important for all of us to hear the voice of the Lord. And our main focus is to find the lost who need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and get them saved. And then get them discipled, which to bring them in and get them connected and discipled. And that's a main purpose. If that's a main purpose, then it's going to drive the main part of your agenda. Doesn't mean we won't do some other things, but it means that we need to take care of the main thing. And if you know what your purpose is, and if you're able to define and clarify what that is, how many know we should know the will of God? Scripture says we should know the will of God. And so I think the Lord wants to continue to mess with, I use that term because it's his words. He said, tell the people I'm messing with their identity. I'm going to mess you up and cause you to believe you are who I say you are. I'm messing with your authority. You're going to quit getting run over by the devil. And you're going to start ruling and reigning with me at a next level that I've called my church to. I'm messing with your authority and your holiness and your righteousness, your integrity that has everything to do with your authority. I'm messing with that. And I'm messing with your purpose, messing with your destiny, messing with the blessing that's upon you to accomplish all these things I say you can do. So I really believe the Lord is in that area. Why he skipped over authority and went from identity to purpose, I'll find out, I think, in the future. But he did. And he said, okay, I want you to do a little bit on purpose. So this is kind of an introduction. I'm actually going to start the series, I think, next week. But let us work into it a little bit and get it going. So, Father, I thank you that the divine purpose in each one of us, our purpose together, our purpose in this region, our purpose in our families, our purpose in the marketplace. These are all going to become more and more clear to us, and it will change our relationships. It'll change our energy level. It'll change our schedules. It'll change what we say and what we do, and you will accomplish more in 2020 in our lives than ever before, and our fruitfulness will be outstanding and remarkable. I bless the people with this revelation, understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. What would compel me to come to church on a day like today? What, you know, you get out and you look and you say, you must be out of your mind. It'd be much nicer to stay home. It reminds me of two passages of Scripture. One is Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. It says, let us hold fast. Say hold fast. Hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. God has made some promises to us, and we need to hold fast our profession. We trust God. We trust you, Lord. We believe in you, Lord. We believe the songs that we just sang. And we know you're faithful. And it goes on and says, let us consider one another. The one reason I'm here on a day like today is I've considered you. And I think it's important that I show up. You could have showed up and I could have stayed home. Or vice versa. I think you considered me and each other. Charles considered us. He's on the greeting team this morning. We wouldn't have had a greeter if he hadn't come. So he considered us. Let us consider one another in order to what? Stir up love, which we sang about, and good works. So we meet together to stir each other up to good works and love. If we don't meet, we don't stir. If you stay home, you're pretty much unstirred, right? If you come here, I'm going to stir you up. Glory to God. And he says we should stir each other up. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. A lot of people beat people up and say, you got to come to Wednesday night, got to come Tuesday night service, got to come to every service every time the door is open, because the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Well, it's not the assembling. It's what you do when you assemble. Right? It's the fellowship. It's the challenging. It's the sharing. It's the serving. It's doing things together. It's being in the right place at the right time with the right people, hearing the right word of God, encouraging each other. How many learned something today already from the Spirit of God? Amen. Amen. And so we learn through Bible study. We learn through prayer. We learn through testimonies. We learn. We're disciples. We're learning. Discipleship is continuous learning of the things of God so we can live at that next level of the life experience of God. And so we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. There's some people that just don't have much passion or desire. Churches kind of take it or leave it. I didn't come to church today, Pastor, because I didn't feel good. Oh. So you think if you don't feel good, it's a better thing to stay home than to be in the presence and the power of God. I never have gotten that. I've always come to church when I feel bad, because generally, at the end, I feel better than when I came. Hallelujah. I hardly ever miss, because I value the presence of God and what God's going to do in the service. And when it's a little snowy, I don't want anybody, you know, being dangerous or being foolish driving to get here. But I came today because I really did expect God to show up and do something, and he has, and he will. And it says, not as some people do, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So don't think I'm going to cut you some slack and say, well, I know you're really busy. I know it takes a lot to get here. I know you've got other things you want to do. I'm going to really continue to compel you to be in the presence of the Lord, the much more you see the day approaching. Why? Because I care about your life. These are life and death issues that we're going into in this time of shaking in the world. He says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. I came today. Why? Because I believe God is. And I believe he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. I think it's worth a little snow scraping. It's worth an extra set of boots and shoes to get here and to be in the presence of the Lord and to have God work on my identity, authority, purpose, destiny, and reveal his blessing to me that I might live in the life of God at the next level he's trying to pull the church up to. I come today because I value you and being with you. In the book of Hebrews, in that 11th chapter, it goes on to talk about all the accomplishments that the people of the Bible accomplished by faith, by hearing from God and obeying what God said. It starts out the chapter by saying, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. What do you hope for? And why do you hope for it? My hope is based in what I've heard God promise me. And it's good to get together and stir each other to believe the promise of God together. It's easier to believe together than by yourself. Have you ever noticed that? Amen. And Bishop Hammond says this, the first banana taken off the bunch gets peeled and eaten. I don't know what that has to do with anything, but it's good to think about. You don't, please don't be by yourself. Amen. It's a tough place to be. So I'm not here today really to prove anything that I can drive in bad weather. I'm not here to prove that I'm stronger than other pastors who may have closed their service. I'm not here to prove anything. I'm here because I highly value corporate worship. It starts at the end of Genesis chapter 4 when Cain's descendants were as horrible as could be and just filth and murder was filling the earth. And it says in the last verse, I think it is, I haven't looked at it for a long time, but I think I'm bringing it up out of the Holy Ghost remembrance. It says, then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. They saw that there was no other answer to cultural decay than to bring people together and call upon the name of the Lord. And Joel says this, and Peter says this, repeating Joel in Acts chapter 2. He says, those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Those that righteous run into it and they're saved. Calling on the name of the Lord is asking God, who do you want to be to us today? Jehovah Jireh, the one who looks ahead and makes provision for. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the one who is our righteousness. Do you want to be Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals us? Do you want to be Jehovah? Our banner over us is love. Do you want to be the Lord of hosts? Do you want to be Lord Sabaoth? Do you want to be the Lord our shepherd, which we hear, follow you, and shall not want? Who do you want to be to me today? Call upon the name of the Lord together. When we sing these songs, we're singing about him, singing to him, calling unto him. I value corporate worship. I value what God does in you and me when we join together to seek the Lord, hear the Lord, experience his presence. It prepares us for life. We're coming to God as prescribed in the scriptures, and we will have the benefit of it, I am sure. I think you are going to have a better week because you were here. I believe your purpose is going to become more and more clear to you. And you're going to turn some things down that you have no business doing. And you're going to say yes to maybe some scary things that you wouldn't have said yes to without God whispering in your ear, that's the way. Take that. Take that. Do that. Step out and do what you may not be comfortable doing this. We heard this all week. I want to stretch you beyond your comfort zone. And we were. They lined us up in front with our eyes closed like this and put people behind us, and we had to prophesy to them without looking at them. And the prophecy had to begin, "Son or daughter, I say unto you." And you got to choose. It's interesting. Then we got to prophesy for 3 minutes to someone continuously. And at the end of that, we're told to go on until we say stop. And they read the psalm that says, "Oh God, the thoughts you have for me are as the sands of the sea." Which means there's an endless prophecy for each of you. And if I get stuck, I just reach down, pick up another grain of sand, and describe that to you. And again, and again, and again. This is school worth going to. It'll break you out of the place you've been prophetically and begin to stretch you. But we're coming to this place where I really believe there's a benefit of discipleship at a next level. And I just encourage you to make a plan for yourself in 2020. How am I going to go deeper? I'd like for you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 28. In the NASB, it says this, "Be careful to listen to all these words which I command you, so that it may be well with you and your sons after you forever. For you will be doing what is right, what is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God." Be careful to listen to everything and do it. Be careful to listen and do it, for you'll be doing what's right. And it'll go well with you and for your children. How many would like for it to go better with you? And how many would really like it to go better for your children? Me too. So on a day like today, sometimes I say, why do I have to live here? I just came back from Florida. I personally prefer Oklahoma and Florida, the weather there, than here. As days like this, I say, why can't it be Florida? Why can't it be Oklahoma? I go there to visit, but I don't get to live there. Why is it? What is it about my purpose here that won't let me be anyplace else but here? Why do we call this home? I wasn't born here. I just moved here. Why am I here? Because Father knows best. Anybody remember the show on TV? Father Knows Best. Father knows where I need to live. He knows where I need to have a base of operations. 2 times Mary and I fasted and prayed and turned our back on this whole, at that time we were grumbling and complaining, so we turning our back on this godforsaken place, We probably even said that because we were at an all-time low. Things had happened that just discouraged us. So we turned our back and we said, God, you got to have something better for me. I'm better than this. I know I'm your child. I know you have something better. And we looked in the spirit and we saw absolutely nothing. So we turned around and said, this is it, honey. We're staying right here. One time, we asked Dr. John to come up. John Watson was our mentor from our mother church down in Marion. And we had been going through some things, and some people had been treating us badly. And John came in, sat down at the table, and Mary said to him with tears running down her face, "John, what's going on? We did not sow this." The Bible says, "You reap what you sow." We've been in many churches. We've helped build lots of churches, and we never did this to our leadership. John looks at her. He says, "Well, Mary, that's not the only scripture in the Bible." So we sucked it up. My great-granddaughter Hadley has a saying, "Suck it up, buttercup," you know. So we got back to the task, you know. And it's amazing how when the purpose of God becomes clear, then all these other things do not distract you anymore. They're a distraction to you until you realize the purpose of God. Because Father knows best, that's why we're here. It's time for you and me to stop wandering around and come into our purpose. Who's the father of our faith according to the Bible? Abraham. Right, Abraham. Did Abraham receive a good prophecy in Genesis chapter 12? What did his prophecy say? "Leave your family and go to a land you know not of." So what did he do? He took his dad and he took his nephew. Right? So he let family interfere with his prophecy and his purpose. And he got as far as Haran, and he had to wait there till his dad died. Right? And he still got Lot with him, so he comes along. Does Lot cause him any trouble? Is there a famine in the land? Yeah, then what's he do? Goes down to Egypt, right? He just can't bring himself to believe God and just do what God told him to do. And he's called the father of our faith. Why is that? Because he kept at it. "You want to give me a son? Well, let's do Ishmael." Ah, missed it again. He keeps canceling his prophecy and destiny by his own wanting to make the word of God come to pass. First, he lags back. Then he gets ahead of God. But eventually, he fulfills the promise of God. And that, I believe that's where we all are. As we're coming along, we understand a little bit about our purpose. I'm really studying, what does a patriarch do, and what shall a patriarch say, and how far shall a patriarch go in distributing inheritance and so forth. What does the Bible really teach about patriarchs? What do senior pastors do? How do they do what they do? What authority do I really have to invoke the blessing over people and see it come to pass? What in that purpose of being senior pastor, in that purpose of being a husband and being a grandfather, great-grandfather, being a father-in-law to the most beautiful worship leader in the country, amen. What is my purpose and what is not? Moses was to lead the people. And at one point, God said, "Leave them, we're going to do a new bunch." And what did Moses do? He interceded and said, "Oh, now, God, let me work with these people." And he delayed the prophecy to go into the promised land for how long? 40 years. How many want to delay their prophecy by hanging on to relationships that you shouldn't hang on to? It's time for us to get crystal clear about our purpose and to move with the promise of God and the word of God and let there be no more delay. How many have heard the prophecy that the Lord is saying by the Spirit of God, "Let there be no more delay"? Well, who's delaying? I don't think God's late. I don't think he's waiting. We are the ones who need to get crystal clear about the purpose of God. And you know, fast forward several hundred years from Moses, you get Joshua who goes in. And he didn't get the job done. You get to David. And all these people are trying to possess the promise that God made. But there, I believe there is a generation. I believe that Jesus is held into the heavens, Acts 3:21, until the reformation of all things spoken of by his holy prophets since the world began. There's going to be a generation who begins to hear the word of the Lord. More prophetic training, more prophetic utterance, more prophetic release. And we're going to get very specific. And the hearing ear, the seeing eye, and the perceiving heart are going to increase. Desire the best gift is prophecy. Despise not prophesying, but prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. There's an increase in, I believe, an increase in hearing the voice of God and obeying him. And it's so that the signs, wonders, miracles that want to take place in your life to demonstrate God is who he says he is. He wants to do that not only to bless you, but to turn others to the Lord. And that's what I believe the purpose of the church is in the last days, is to demonstrate to the principalities the wisdom of God. That's Ephesians, I think, 2:10. So, when the transfiguration happened and Jesus was on the mount, God's voice came down. And what did God say to the three disciples who were with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration? What did he say? This is my beloved son. Hear him. At the baptism, it was son in whom I'm well pleased. At the transfiguration, it's my beloved son, hear him. And I believe that's why the Lord gave me that life verse when he changed the total direction of my life. John 8:12, I am the light of the world. How many know you're the light of the world? Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He who hears me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life, the phos of the Zoe, the illumination of the God kind of life. We are moving as a people into the next level of the God kind of life through the hearing of the voice of God. And we went on two missions recently, and I'll close here quickly. But first, we went down to with Bishop Hammond and the rest of the prophets in Versailles, Indiana, a week ago Friday. And we worked on the word of the Lord together. There are certain themes that the Lord has among his people so that we can all be on the same page as to what God is doing. And so there's a thick book of all the people that were asked to contribute to trying to understand what God's up to in this season for you and me together. And I'll try to get that in electronic or paper form and speak more on that going forward so you'll know what those themes are. But also, Pastor Belinda and I went down and we worked on ministering spiritual gifts 1, 2, 3, and 4 and teaching, train the trainer. The key really to ministering and serving with God where you are is moving and living with God in the Spirit. And have the gifts of the Spirit fluent in you. You need a word of wisdom. You need a word of knowledge. You need faith. You need miracles and prophecy and discerning of spirit, tongues, interpretation of tongues, gifts of healing. And the training was to really learn the material so that we can be authorized teachers for you and train you to really hear and follow the voice of the Lord. I really believe we're moving into a time where there's an impartation as well as a knowledge transfer. And so as I spoke today, I was really believing that the Spirit of God would begin to issue you new wineskins for new understanding, for new revelation of your purpose here. Why are you here? And what are you supposed to be doing while you're here? And I found that when I really concentrate on that, that's when God can add another dimension to what I'm doing, and I can grow. It's when I'm trying to escape what he's given me to do that the devil can get in and deceive me and get me to move out of my purpose and destiny into something that looks better but is not the Lord. And so I release also with this discerning of purpose, a spirit of discernment so that you will not be deceived. You will not be carried away with things that are not God. Would you stand with me, please? Let me ask you to do something just to activate this a little bit in your life. Just take a moment and think about asking God for clarity on your purpose. I'd like for you to work on a purpose statement. This is my purpose. Work on a purpose statement. And if it would help you, I would be willing to review it with you. But then when the major decisions of life come, because they will come, they will come. I remember one time Mary and I were asked to move to Italy to take over refrigeration as a big promotion and get to live in Italy. And you make a lot of money because that's what they do there. And the Lord said, well, that'd be okay, except you're a father to your children who are here and to the church that I've had you birth here. And fathers don't run out on their kids. So I went and told them, no thanks. And I figured, okay, that's it. The last promotion you'll ever see. But 3 years later, I was promoted to the same equal position here in cooking. And so the Lord made good on the promise that he would always provide for us and take care of us. But by knowing my purpose, it allowed me to say yes and say no to the right things. And I know some of you, as this year goes forward, are going to be asked to make some big decisions. And I just want the Spirit of God to be in your heart, in your mind. And I don't want you to be deceived and pulled away. I want you to be firm in what you do. Now, we've had some people leave us. And it'll be interesting to see what they think several months or years from now. Because it's not always clear to me whether they're right or wrong or on or not. I always just offer my advice. And then, of course, you know, I'm just the mailman on the prophetic word, right? If I tamper with your mail, that's a federal offense. So I don't get to explain what it was I meant when I said this, right? I just need to deliver the word, and you and God figure out and assay it, figure out what of its value and what of its not. Amen? Good. So say this with me. Father, clarify my purpose. Clarify my identity, my authority, and my destiny. Thank you for your blessing upon my life that I might fulfill everything written in the books of heaven concerning me. As I work on my purpose, clarify it to me for your name's sake. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. See you next time. Praise the Lord.